This is an ABC podcast.
Hi, I'm Angela Voipierre.
And I'm Stephen Smiley, and this is The Signal.
The International Criminal Court is meant to prosecute war criminals, but plenty of people in the US really aren't fans.
When I actually got an abusive email overnight from Philadelphia in the United States, a guy writing to me telling me what a rat bag I was for apparently supporting the concept of a single world government.
And it's not just in the US where the ICC isn't popular. So why does it have so many enemies?
There has been a pretty significant backlash from at least some African governments accusing the court of being anti-Africa and not going after the Americans or the British.
So can the ICC survive long enough to prove its critics wrong? That's today's episode. So if you buy into the US narrative on global politics, there's a pretty predictable list of goodies and baddies.
Yeah, and I mean, by and large, Australia tends to be in lockstep with the US on these kinds of questions.
Yeah, totally. But then every now and then, you do get a surprise. And for me at least, one of those surprises is the International Criminal Court.
We will not cooperate with the ICC. We will provide no assistance to the ICC, and we certainly will not join the ICC. We will let the ICC die on its own. After all, for all intents and purposes, the ICC is already dead to us.
That is the US National Security Advisor, John Bolton, with a love letter to the International Criminal Court.
And if you don't know a heap about the International Criminal Court, which I have to admit I didn't until this week, it might seem, you know, kind of counterintuitive for a self-proclaimed beacon of freedom and democracy like the US to take this stance. I mean, it's a multilateral court dedicated to putting war criminals on trial. What's not to love?
Well, quite a lot if you're the US. But the number one reason seems to be the fact that the court is sniffing around the US military.
And the court has jurisdiction to investigate what the US military forces did on the territory of Afghanistan, as well as what the Taliban did and as well as what the Afghani government forces did. And yeah, John Bolton's not happy about that.
That's Professor Tim McCormack. He's the Dean of Law at the University of Tasmania and a special advisor on war crimes to the prosecutor of the International Criminal Court. And the tension around US activity in Afghanistan is just the latest reason. But the US has form when it comes to bashing organisations like the ICC.
John Bolton, for example, as ambassador of the United States to the UN back in the early 2000s, said the United Nations could lose the United Nations headquarters building on the east side of Manhattan in New York City could lose its top 10 floors and it'd make not one bit of difference. I mean, he slacked off at all the international organizations the US is part of for decades. So in some ways, it's certainly not new in respect of the International Criminal Court. And it's not new in respect of sinking the boots into an international organization.
What is it about the ICC in particular that John Bolton doesn't like, though? I mean, is it that they just don't want the US itself to be hauled over the coals for what may or may not have happened in Afghanistan?
Yeah, is it just naked self-interest?
It is. And I guess when you're as influential and as powerful as the US is at the moment in international affairs, you can afford to be like that.
Okay, so the US takes a pretty dim view of the court's whole purpose, like they don't want it looking into what its troops are up to.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's also a kind of bigger picture reservation in the US about the ICC. It's this fear that maybe this court is part of a secret plan to build this, you know, massive world government that might one day take everything over.
The bee in the bonnet that Johnny Bolton can't get past, it seems, is the fact that this court dares to claim to have jurisdiction over an American national without American consent. How dare they do that?
And that's the kind of conspiracy, isn't it? It's like this sort of like, I mean, in the wackier versions of it, it's like this kind of globalist government that is taking sovereignty away from, you know, people that represent their countries, like John Bolton presumably thinks that he does. That's kind of the crowd, and that's the line of argument.
It is the crowd and the line of argument. I actually got an abusive email overnight from Philadelphia in the United States, a guy writing to me telling me what a ratbag I was for apparently supporting the concept of a single world government. And that is not going to happen, sir.
Well, sorry.
Yeah, Tim. Okay, mate. I never knew I was advocating for that.
Okay, but the ICC is not part of a secret plan for a world government, at least as far as we can determine. So, so what's it actually supposed to be doing?
The point about the International Criminal Court is that it's really the first ever permanent court to prosecute the major international crimes, which are war crimes, genocide, and crimes against humanity.
That's Ben Saul, and he's a professor of international law at the University of Sydney. And the ICC might have been the first permanent court to do that job, but there were a few temporary ones before.
Yeah, things like the Nuremberg trials to prosecute Nazis and other temporary tribunals that have been set up to deal with war crimes and genocides in places like Rwanda and the former Yugoslavia.
Which meant that by the time the ICC was actually up and running in 1998, a lot of the heavy lifting had already been done. And because the court has trouble prosecuting crimes in countries that aren't signatories, most of its wins have been in Central Africa.
A lot of the cases have concerned Africa, and there has been a pretty significant backlash from at least some African governments against that, accusing the court of being anti-Africa and not going after the Americans or the British for what they did in Iraq and Afghanistan or other big players like China and Russia and so on, or the West more generally. Look, there are a number of reasons for all of this. One is that, as I said at the start, the court only has power to prosecute or jurisdiction if a particular government has signed up to the treaty and become part of it. So, unfortunately, many of the major powers like Russia, China, and the US haven't, which makes it much more difficult to prosecute soldiers from those countries.
Okay, so the other big question, I guess, is how can the court be taken seriously if it's missing a third of the world's countries, including some pretty big ones?
I mean, you're dead right. I mean, certainly, as I mentioned, you know, some really powerful countries which are involved in conflict, Russia, the United States, China and so on, Israel, Syria, Iraq, aren't parties to the court. And of course, that means there's a gap in the international justice system. The reason for that, of course, is that international law is mainly based on the consent of governments. I mean, there's no, you know, supranational international power that can force the United States or China or Russia to do something if they don't want to do it. I mean, the UN is itself is just a meeting of governments. I mean, it doesn't have an army or a police force, if it can't force powerful states to do anything. So obviously, international law depends upon states buying into the system, doing the right thing, trying to participate constructively. It is therefore going to be selective. But I think the view of those who support the International Criminal Court is that some justice, even if it's selective, even if it can't catch everybody, is better than no justice at all.
Right. It feels like kind of a weak pitch though, right? Better this than nothing at all?
Yeah, but the other side to that is that if we give it time, it might improve.
It's still very much early days yet, and these kind of institutions need time to get going and to demonstrate what they can do. The way to help that process along is precisely not to do what John Bolton and the US administration seems to be proposing, which is to, you know, bung sanctions on personnel of the court, prosecute them, and put financial asset sanctions on them if they go after American citizens. But unfortunately, the United States has had a habit of doing this.
All right, so Ben Saul reckons the best is yet to come.
Yeah, and essentially that the US is just standing in the way.
And what about Tim McCormick? Like, he has a close-up view of the whole thing. I mean, is he job hunting on the sly now, or does he think that it's going to last?
I don't think this salvo from Bolton is a sort of death knell for the court, but I think that there is a more sort of potentially troubling issue for the court, and that is that, well, the future of the institution of the court is in the hands of what we call the Assembly of States Parties. So all the countries in the world that have signed up to the court, Australia is one of them.
And how many is that? It's about 160.
123 countries are state parties. So that's about... Mm-hmm. I think it's just under two-thirds of the countries of the world, certainly a majority, because there are about 100, well, I think there are 194 member states, 192 member states of the United Nations, and there are a couple of small Pacific Island states that aren't member states of the UN. So we're talking about a combined total of 194 sovereign nation states in the world, and just under two-thirds of them are states parties to the International Criminal Court. And the Assembly of States parties determine the future of the court in a sense because they control the purse strings. If they just decided this is all too difficult, we're going to, you know, we're just going to pull out because it's, we're not, perhaps the international community is not ready for an institution like this, then it's all over. And I'm not suggesting that's going to happen, but I guess I'm very conscious of the fact that a sustained campaign against the court by the US and whatever other allies it can draw into that campaign would be extremely damaging, for sure.
Yeah, and as we know, you can't run without funding.
Yeah, it's a pretty big hurdle. That's it for today. Thank you for listening. We have an email address and we love to hear from you. It's thesignal@abc.net.au.
And we'll be back tomorrow. Have a good day. Bye.
Bye.